Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Pamela DeBar's Pajama Party, a Pantheon podcast. Look inside the, let the sound take you away. Music. Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Culture. Take conversation. The tambourine man, play a song for me. And good old-fashioned rock and roll. Excuse me while I kiss this. So now, I give you Miss Pamela and her pajama party.
Hello, dolls. How about this? I am back. I knew I'd be back. I thought it would be sooner, but I've been working on this book for almost 4 years. And it is Jane Petty's book. It's called American Girl, of course. And she was married to Tom for 25 years. So it's a love story. It's a, memorial. Boy, I know more about Tom Petty than I ever really needed to know. But you're now going to know yourself. So anyway, that book should be out by the end of the year. And that's what has kept me away from my wonderful podcast. So today we're doing something a little different. My darling Cece Benhoff, who I interviewed, I can't believe it's almost 3 years ago. It's insane. She's going to interview me. Because I've been MIA for a little while, and I chose her because I love her. If I was a guy, her boyfriend would be in trouble. So we'll catch up with her, too. So welcome to my show, Pamela DeBar's Pajama Party for Pantheon Podcasts. I'm back.
Okay, hi, I'm Sierra. I'm here with Pamela. Pamela, you have been such a big support to me. I think you know you're one of my mentors. As soon as Tim introduced us, and shout out to Tim.
Yes,
and Tim. Jess.
Yes.
God bless them for the introduction and for all he did for my life. But yeah, you are a big part of my heart. In spite of our distance.
I know.
And so when I was here playing your party last, we were goofing and having fun and just going, well, why hasn't anybody interviewed you
on your podcast? Yeah. So and you're the perfect person to do it.
Well,
you called yourself Sierra though.
Yeah.
Have you gone back to the actual name or you're no longer Cece?
No, I'm Cece.
Okay.
I leave it up to people's discretion. Okay. I don't know how that just came out. I mean, it is my God-given, my Christian name.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, speaking of names, so when I saw you at the Echo, I heard a little backstage, this little cutie pie gal going, oh, yeah, we're going to Pamela's. And I said, excuse me. It's Miss Pamela.
Thank you.
Do you have a preference?
No.
I call you Queenie. I call you Miss P. I heard that.
Yes.
Miss Pamela.
Call me Miss P, Miss Pamela. Yeah. That's been going on since Tiny Tim named the, we visited him. Miss Lucy met Tiny Tim in New York. And he was in town playing the troubadour. And she said, we should go visit Mr. Tim. So we all piled over there to the Sunset Marquee. And he was such a nervous wreck having that many girls around. he was sweating and fanning and doing all those things.
Sure.
And he had to take a shower every few minutes. He was just flipped out. And we were piling up all over him. He was very shy.
Huh.
Yeah. So he called her Miss Lucy already. She was already Miss Lucy because he started that name change for all of us. We all became Miss so-and-so.
I like it.
And even though it didn't suit Mercy, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
She.
Yeah, but I also love it because it didn't suit her. Yeah. Punk rock, that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Most punk rock. You know what? I always thought was spectacular that from the moment I came into your life, she did not give one flying anything about me. She just, we'll just see about you.
But she
loved that.
But she did get you.
And I know she did.
Yes, she did.
But I love, she was just so authentic. And,
That's for sure. That's a good word for Mercy.
Yeah.
But she became Miss Mercy that day, just like all of us became Miss Sparky, Miss Pamela, Miss Cinderella, Miss Sandra.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And Miss Christine, of course.
Right.
So, yeah.
Is that your preference? So do you have a preference?
It's so weird being called Miss Pamela when I'm at this age group.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you want Madam?
That sounds good.
I love a Madam.
Madam
kind of sexy.
I mean, like that.
We could talk to the Lord about it, but Madam Pamela sounds like a Miss Havisham's like counterpart.
Yeah, Miss Havisham's dog.
Dog.
So you just brought up the Lord. Do you still talk to the Lord?
I do. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you know, for much of my life, it was the Lord.
Of course.
So that's who I talk to. And you do too.
Yeah. I talk to the Lord, but I also open it up
to
whoever else might be listening.
Right. And I kind of use the Lord as a God.
Yeah. Yes, me too.
Right.
And I'm sure he, capital H, is fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't even, you know, do you in your like, in your spirit, do you feel him or is it
Jesus?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Right.
I also speak to his mother.
Cool.
Especially about my son. I'll talk to Mary about him.
Right.
And, but there's more to it. It's vaster.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, here I am.
Right.
Eat me up. You know,
Decky's. I love that. I think that's really, that makes me feel really more comfortable about my relationship with it all, you know, because a lot of people, especially with Christianity, have like a dark cloud still, but they still talk to the Lord, right?
Yeah. Do you think he listens? I mean,
I don't think anybody listens. I think you're listening to me right now, but as far as anything else.
You don't think there's a listener? Why do you think everyone talks to the unseen then if there's no listener? That's you think we're the listener, the highest self of us?
That we're talking actually to?
To our highest self. A lot of times I think that.
Yeah.
This got deep awfully quick.
I know.
You want to ask me some stuff?
Well, in my notes, I even said, you know, obviously, you know, thought it'd be a fun way for us to catch up or whatever, but I have a tendency to go deep. You've heard my music and all these things. I'm like, do you want a safe word? Or something to like, maybe get out of there.
Talk about anything.
Okay.
But what do you think people might want to know about me that they don't know, that you know?
Well, see, and that's the other thing about it. Like, we know a lot about you. Really beautiful, neat stuff. You know, I will tell you something. Not on the deep level. Guess what's in my eBay cart right now?
What?
1989 Playboy.
Oh, well, you should let me give you one.
No way. I want to buy it.
Well, I have to sign it.
I love it. Yes, you have to sign it.
Yes. I actually sell those Playboys on my rock tour. I buy them to sell.
Oh, then I'll just buy it from you.
No, I've charged more than you've probably paid.
Oh, shoot. No, I've yet to buy it, but it's, listen, you're not cheap.
No.
It's a good issue.
Yeah, LaToya is on the cover.
I know,
but.
Babe City.
I'll tell you about that shoe.
Please.
It was not sexy, okay?
Oh, shoot, okay.
People don't know how hard that is to pose for Playboy.
Uh-huh.
Because that was the main guy who shot all the Playmates and everything. This was 1989, mm-hmm. I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
He shot 20,000 photos of me. Yeah. It was all day long.
Jeez.
And you, I had to arch myself in the most uncomfortable positions and stay there.
Did a little fish face and whatever.
Yeah. No, this one. It was the one, you know, with your mouth open.
I wouldn't take a photo of you.
So that was not a sexy experience.
Right.
I think it came out pretty good. They have me sitting among all these records. With a very
so cool. I've never seen it.
Oh, I'll show it to you.
Okay.
With a sly look on my face, you know.
I love it.
Yeah, it was funny. It was really funny. And they used a lot of old shots of me for the piece too.
Right.
Because I shot for Playboy when I was 21.
Right.
But my tits weren't big enough.
Right.
For them at the time.
Right, right.
But I thought it was so short-sighted because that was hippie flower child days, and they should have had a flower child.
Absolutely.
Centerfold. They should have had a that girl of that time.
Exactly.
In but that they moment. Wanted big bosoms, whether they were fake or not.
Right. Exactly.
So I didn't get that. But somehow, because I wrote that book, mm-hmm. the reason, though, why I did that shoot wasn't so I could be naked for people. It's because they let me write the piece.
Yeah. Totally.
That's why I said, yeah, let's do it. I mean, I went for it because I wanted to write the piece.
Right.
And that was the first time they let any naked girl write their story.
Whoa.
I know.
I mean, that's very special.
It might be the only time. I don't know.
I bet you it's one of very few.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll let you get naked, but you can't write, right? Jeez Louise. Okay. So on that note, I think you saw that I posted a quick thing because I told a few friends that I was coming. I had a few people that want to ask you some questions.
Mm-hmm.
One of which I think is really cool. Her name is Nina. You might know her, Nina Storm. She does an all femme experience, maybe every 4 months. She has all women do basically like a cabaret, comedians, burlesques, the singer-songwriters or whatever, somewhere in betweens.
Yeah.
So she asked me this. She said, is there any chance of a film, TV adaptation of With the Band happening? Or could there be?
I've had it optioned at least a dozen times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
From everyone from Stars to HBO to New Line movies to I can't even think of all of them. There's so many Netflix, so many people.
Right. I am not surprised. I hope you know my gasp is not out of shock. I'm just like.
But no one has had the balls or ovaries to get it made.
Gotcha.
It never got to the point of getting it made or being cast.
Right.
There were a lot of people interested. I started with Ally Sheedy.
Okay.
Ally Sheedy optioned it for 3 years.
Wow.
Every year she'd re-option it because she really believed in it. And never happened. Then it went to Drew Barrymore, to Christina Applegate, to every kind of girl when they were real young, you know.
Right.
And then I had people like Allison Anders attached. Wow. I wrote the screenplay with my friend Iva for Stars.
Wow.
And that didn't happen either. I mean, I don't know what, but now it is with Tea Time, Dakota Johnson's company.
Currently?
Yeah.
Oh, I just got a little.
Oh, you did?
I got a little thing in here. Yeah.
Well, she's like a family member, obviously. Melanie and Don, you know.
Okay.
Have been in my life for a long time.
Right.
In several ways. In my life. Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to talk about that a little?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I mean,
I think that's something that people don't.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, I don't get asked about Don Johnson that much, but he was one of my only true loves. Yeah.
And I love talking about your that was one of my questions for you anyway, was like your true, like romantic, like aside from music, like.
I've been thinking about it because I'm doing this show at the Whiskey A Go-Go. Mm-hmm. You guys, I'm doing a show, another one. I sold out the Whiskey A Go-Go on my birthday in September. And now I'm doing one on March 17th. And the tickets are on sale now.
Wait, that's St. Patrick's?
Yeah, St. Patrick's.
Oh, this is a party and a half.
I know.
We're going to Sunset.
It's going to be great. It's early, 6:30, if you want something else, if you want something wild to do afterwards. But I've been thinking about my loves because of this show. And because my first boyfriend, Bobby Martini, is coming to the show.
Amazing.
And I'm going to read a lot about him. And he's such a great, we've been in touch all these years since high school.
Yeah.
That's how I am. I try to stay in touch with all my boyfriends. And I realized just today.
You got to keep your options open.
He's married. He's married. Nice. Very married.
Sure.
I just realized today that he really was one of my true loves. I mean, really and truly, even though we were 16.
Sure.
He was 15.
Right.
I brought the cradle early.
Love that.
Ooh, I'd get in trouble now. but we were together for a while until the Beatles came along and I decided I wanted Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. Naturally.
And so I'm going to read a lot about that.
You want Pesta Martini. You got nothing to do. Just had to go see about somebody.
But we've stayed friends all this time. And then I was in love with Chris Hillman for a very long time. I mean, off and on for many years. Mm-hmm. And he was very hard to get. He was a strong, silent type. Okay. He was the bass player for the Byrds and then the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Right.
My favorite band of all time.
Yep.
Featuring Gram Parsons.
I do know that.
And
you know, the strong, silent type will get you immediately. But it won't, I feel like that wouldn't hook you for life.
It just did. I kept thinking, he's very mysterious. But it turned out he wasn't.
He wasn't mysterious. He was just quiet.
He was just quiet. He kept stuff to himself.
Quiet know-it-all, man. I love those type of guys.
A bass player, though, is often that dark, moody type of person with that deep, dark bass sound. It's very sexy.
Right.
So he was I loved him so much. Then Don Johnson was my next true love after that. Even though I went out with Mick Jagger, Jimmy Page, all the other people in between, I realized I didn't love, I mean, I loved them, but I wasn't in love with any of them.
Sure.
And I accepted Keith Moon and Mick Jagger as just love, roll in the hay, fun people to be with, although Keith was very, very, melancholy, shall we say.
Gotcha.
At times.
Gotcha.
And I had to pull him up. But Mick was just fun. He was just fun to frolic with and do every kind of thing.
Of all the names, forgive my, cadence with that. Who was your, if you could do one night again, who would you choose just for a one-nighter? Not necessarily.
Wow.
Just
a hang out. Probably Keith Moon.
Keith
Moon had this incredibly depth to him that came out in all kinds of very weird ways, but he was just expressing himself. Mm-hmm. He was so creative and so brilliant and so otherworldly.
And so sad too.
Yeah.
No wonder you love me more than anyone.
Are you sad too, baby?
Okay, anyway, back to Don Johnson.
So then there was Don Johnson. And he was my love, my true love.
All the time.
Before
I want to do this once in a while.
But he was my true love before Michael, who I married.
Right.
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 So Don and I had a very wild, he was hot. Oh. In fact, there's two words in my, in I'm with the band that just happened to come out. Because when I was writing it, my agent said, who is Don Johnson? No one's heard of him. He's not a musician. Nobody cares about Don Johnson. I said, he was a true love. I'm not going to kick Don Johnson out of my life.
Sounds like another little side book. Who cares about Don Johnson? I'll tell you who.
A lot of people do. But anyway, absolutely. He was a true love. But right when the book came out, Miami Vice took off.
Okay.
So he became a talking point on the talk shows and everything. And unexpectedly.
Babe City, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He was so hot.
Yeah.
So he still is.
Right.
So he was right up there, true love. And we lived together. And I thought, you know, this was it. He was really hot. But in the book I wrote, in my diary, a diary entry, that's all it was.
Right.
I was describing him. I had spent like the first night with him. Mercy introduced us.
Wow.
She was telling me he lived next door to a good friend of mine, Chuck Wine, the wizard I wrote extensively about. And she said, there's a guy next door you have to meet. So
the guy next door.
Yes,
the guy meets the girl not so next door. Maybe like a few doors down type of girl.
No, it's right next door. Very easy. So he opened the door and I went, okay, I'm a goner. That's it. He opened the door and there he was. So anyway, in this diary entry, I wrote huge cock. We're going to take a little break.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Okay, we're back. That's it. Two words. And that got so much attention. Because of Miami Vice.
Okay, so was it, were you being literal or metaphorical or kind of both?
Both.
Both.
Oh, no, he's.
Okay. Yeah. Are we allowed to get that deep? I'm going to talk to you real. Well, you take out whatever you want.
I'm not going to measure.
But
was
length and width.
Excellent.
Both.
Excellent. Yes.
Usually you just get one.
Oh my gosh.
And you're lucky if you can't get one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
Yes, it is true. But, you know, size isn't everything.
No.
Okay.
No.
It really isn't.
You want a little bit of both.
But anyway, we were together for like a year. It seemed longer because he was a piece of work.
Right.
But you know, I learned a lot with him. Mm. I learned a lot about men.
Okay.
I was a year older than he was. Right. So anyway, just like Bobby Martini.
So you did that for a while.
I was 23 and you're 22.
Got you.
Yeah.
I mean, and anything to last a year in your 20s, like, this is a good thing, a learning thing. What did you learn?
I learned what not to accept.
Nice. Like your boundaries.
Yeah, standards. Boundaries. Yeah, stuff like that.
Right.
But we stayed friends. I mean, it didn't ruin the length of our friendship, which is, you know, up till now.
Sure.
And
well, I think you're very
good. She won. Yay.
Oh, she's awesome.
Sorry, we're watching the Emmys, but
look at her. She is such a beauty and she is a real woman.
I know. We're talking about the girl who plays Shiv on Succession.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
Yeah.
But look at that dress.
Sarah Snook is her name.
There it is. All right. Well, I bet you that's Oscar De La Renta.
Right out of my 75-year-old brain. Sarah Snook.
Are you 75?
Yeah.
You look better than me. Your skin looks better than my skin.
This is not true, listener.
Okay. Whomever is listening, whatever you're seeing on the internet, Yes, she looks that good and more. It is all real. I am a foot from her.
Thank you, Sierra.
I mean it for
I've
real.
I've never called you that. Okay.
Okay, wait, so Zaja, we've gone off on this the adaptation of with the band and whatnot and how that all kind of connects to that.
We were talking about my man.
Sidebar for years.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. But then Don Johnson got the part in the Herod Experiment, which is now actually on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's based on a book about a sex college.
Mm.
And Don played opposite Tippi Hedren, whose daughter is Melanie Griffith.
Got you.
And Melanie and I were both extras.
Cute.
And the rest is history.
Wow. And so now it's all coming full circle. And so.
Yes, isn't that something?
It's really
a real full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
with his daughter, Dakota. And I was at that wedding. You know, I stayed friends with all these people.
Right.
I was a hippie, even though he fell in love with Melanie. We broke up. I stayed friends with all of them.
I feel like you. Any person who's been able to be friends with their exes, I just feel like is more evolved. Mm-hmm. And you are that person. I mean, especially with women. And I don't know if that sounds weird, but like, I'm not that girl. I'm like, beat it. Even if I did the one, leave it. I'm still like, screw you. You're out of my life forever.
Wow.
Yeah. Very cold.
Well, I figure that if you are that devoted to someone and actually in love with that
like
person,
the real stuff.
Yeah. These there's six of people that I was really in love with and maybe even seven. Because Nick St. Nicholas was the first man I actually went all the way with. He came to the last whiskey show, and I got to introduce him and read about him.
Nick.
I know.
That's
Nick
the coolest name.
That's his real name.
I know, it's so neat.
He was a bass player also. My first lovers were bass players.
You love the rhythm.
They were my first three lovers, bass players. Noel Redding was... in between
me, talk about rhythm.
I know he could keep up with Hendrix, man.
I know, Band of Gypsies, all that stuff.
Well,
he was in the experience.
Gotcha. But Mitch was also in Band of Gypsies, and he was my favorite drummer.
Gotcha.
Ever, because they could keep up with Jimmy. But now that's another tangent. So
I wish we could entertain all day. I go, and Melanie, I was saying that you're way more evolved than me, even at the ripe age of 23, because you stay friends with
all these people. Yeah, I stayed friends with them.
I think you're really in love. Like, we talked about agape last time we spoke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe I'm just not loving any of these hoes.
Maybe that's it. Because if you do really love them in the way that God intended, you don't want to lose them forever.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a little break, but I didn't even take one from Don and Melanie.
Right.
In fact, I was her maid of honor at their second wedding. Yeah. At their second wedding when she was pregnant with Dakota. So that's why this thing with Dakota having the rights to my book with the band is pretty great.
That's to me this
cosmic.
This time feel cosmic kismet,
the full circle
feels like God
thing. Yeah,
that is some God stuff there.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go, Nina Storm. There's an answer to your question, a long-winded one, and that was a great question. So my dad says hello, and he's just glad I'm getting out of the house and with you. He said, this is exactly where you're supposed to be. Now you ask her, he wanted to know, I don't even need to read this because frankly, I don't understand the text if I were to read it verbatim, but I understand his sentiment. He wanted to know of all the people you were hanging around and all the music you saw, what song made the greatest impact on either the artist or that generation? If there was like a song that stands out to you.
How about an impact on me?
That's me. Great.
Like, that's what we're talking about.
Well, exactly. Move on over whomever else. But what song do you remember like having great effect?
The greatest effect a song ever had was Treat Me Nice by Elvis. You can see it right over there.
Yeah.
It's still part of me. It's part of my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I was 9 when my dad took me to a yard sale. That's why I still love yard sales, swap meets and everything, because I could hang out with my dad. And he said, go find something you might like. And I had just gotten, well, I've had this little kiddie record player that I was playing my little
like a little Mickey Mouse when it's all plastic. I love it.
But it was so interesting. It held 12 records. It would drop and it would keep. It was a really, I wish I still had. I can totally see it. So he said, go choose something. Now, I had just seen Elvis on Ed Sullivan. So when I saw this stack of records, I said, oh, I've heard of him. And I brought it home.
I've heard of him.
I was 9. And there was also Great Balls of Fire. And it was a nice sun, it said. And it was yellow. And so I took that, too.
Yeah.
So those are my first two records. Pretty good. Jailhouse Rock.
Those are your first two records.
Yeah.
That you bought.
That I chose.
That you chose.
That I chose.
Exactly.
Rock and roll. I already had kiddie records. Mickey Mouse and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But
quick sidebar.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Favorite Disney song? I know you're Disney queen.
Disney song?
What's your favorite?
Wow.
I know.
He's
that's hard.
We can He's a tramp.
He's a tramp.
Oh, I want to hear you cover sing.
That. I really? Promise. Okay. Lord, you are hearing this.
Okay.
I'm going to cover this.
Boom, boom, boom. Roof. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Love that. And it's so dark and lovely. Okay. So
also the Mickey Mouse Club theme.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I'm in love with Mickey Mouse and Minnie. You know, I always like the women with the men.
Yeah.
As you can see, she's right over. Oh, she's fallen over. Oh, God.
She's taking a break.
I love Minnie Mouse as much as Mickey Mouse, you see.
Absolutely.
And I loved Gail Zappa as much as Frank Zappa, but we're off on another tangent.
I know. I'm sorry. I sidebarred.
I know.
Disney.
What are we going to talk about?
I'm just stoked. Okay, so we were talking about Elvis and
the song
and your the song that
the song
that really impacted your life
was Treat Me Nice, which happened to be the flip side of Jailhouse Rock.
Right. Okay.
So I turned it over to see what that song was going to sound like, and that was it. I never stopped playing it. My mother went nuts. I mean, how many times am I going to hear that? just the way. In fact, we need to play Treat Me Nice, okay? All right.
When I walk through that door, baby, be polite. You gonna make me sore if you don't greet me right. Don't you ever kiss me once, kiss me twice. Treat me nice. I know that you've been told it's not fair to tease. So if you come on cold, I'm really gonna freeze.
You know, he says, when I walk through that door, baby, be polite. You're gonna make me sore if you don't treat me right. And I was like, how do I treat Elvis right? How do I treat Elvis nice? What does someone do to treat Elvis nice?
Right.
My mind was just, I mean... And that song led me into my groupie thing.
Okay. Wow.
And then Dion was next.
Oh.
Dion.
What a writer.
I know. See? You know.
I do know.
Right? Yeah. And I had such good taste as a child that I chose him over Fabian and Bobby Rydell and Paul Anka, although he wrote. But not as good as Dion. And
he was just on the New Year's special.
I know. He's still
You know I watched the whole thing. That's what I do my New Year's. I stay at home alone and I drink a little sherry or whatever. And I'm watching Paul Anka.
Oh, I was out. I was seeing Swamp Dog at the Roxy.
You see.
Anyway, he was great.
You are AJ Everybert.
Oh, God. So it was Elvis and then Dion with... The Wanderer. I mean, I loved Run Around Sue, and I knew that was his girlfriend / wife's name later, and I didn't, you know, but I love the song. I love to dance to it. But The Wanderer also was a song that kept me going in that direction.
Right.
He was a naughty man. He roamed from town to town, met a girl in each town, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So those two songs sort of set me on my path.
Even know my name, they call me the Wanderer. Yeah, the
Such that as it was. I guess I'm still on that path because I have a groupie soul. And a groupie, you know, people have asked me so many times, which might be one of your questions. What is a groupie?
You want me to ask you that? I wasn't going to ask you that because I, well.
Do you know what a groupie is?
Well, what I was going to bring up is the fact that I love how, you know, when I was growing up, like it had like an almost a negative connotation.
Yeah, exactly.
And to me, you've done a lot. For me, at the very least, I can't speak for a lot of people, but I know it's true in regards to taking what's yours, reframing and going, no, these were my decisions, are my decisions. Yeah. And this is what it actually means to have my power.
Yeah. I did what I wanted.
Right.
And I was a woman.
Well, but tell us what groupie means.
Groupie just means love. It's just another word for love.
Right.
Love of the music, love of the people who make the music,
right.
Love of where it comes from more than anything else.
Yeah.
Just like the creative urge. Where does that come from? Mm. And it touches the audience member, the listener becomes the creator in that exchange. Right?
Right. Yeah, totally. I felt the creator just now. Yes, electric.
So yeah, it's that, and especially at that time when rock and roll, when Dylan plugged in, for instance, that was the sexiest moment in music.
Because Bobby D. I always call him Bobby D. Because there's too much, so I'd rather reduce him to Bobby D. Makes me feel better about the situation.
Yes, because the words met the electricity. Mm-hmm. And became one. Mm-hmm. So people had to up everything. Oh my God, what did he just say?
Right.
That. Okay. Right. So that had already happened when I got, you know, that was in like 65. No, earlier, was it? When did you plug in? 63?
That's a good
anyway, point. It was at Newport Folk Festival where he was supposed to go out and be a folk guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And he decided to plug in.
And he plugged in. Sexiest music, sexiest moment in rock and roll. So he was cursed. The audience, someone called him Judas. Someone yelled Judas out to him. Yeah. Yeah. Because he plugged in. That thing going into that hole.
That is, that's to me, that there's no greater insult.
Yeah, right. Although we could go off on another tangent. Okay, I think they were in cahoots.
Oh.
Jesus and Judas planned that because he knew his fate.
We'll be right back after these messages. And we're Stacy, like,
you've never thought that?
No.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I've certainly thought, okay, listen, we could have a whole separate, like, Kiki with Miss P and Cece.
We could.
And we might should just for the hell of it, but I'm about to dream about that tonight. That's
okay.
Interesting.
Well, let's talk about that further. But that's what I believe. I've read so many alternative
PR stunts, if you will.
Yes, it was because
I love a PR
Jesus
stunt.
Knew his fate, and I'm not talking about rising up. You know,
no,
he knew his fate as someone who was going to enlighten the world.
Mm.
And he had to go through that shit. So
well, he told
pay
us
enough
to stop,
attention.
Stop worshiping men, false idols. He told us all that. He gave us all that. Stop doing this.
Yes. But
all right. You know what now? I'm going to go handle it. Now that you guys cannot understand it,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do what I need to do.
And Judas was his best friend, in my opinion, and his brother too. But anyway, let's go back to
Bobby D.
So when Dylan plugged in, that's where I went next.
Right. Okay.
Right. And the band that turned me on to, well, Victor Hayden went to my high school. His brother was Captain Beefheart. That's
right.
Another whole entire reality that changed my life.
I love that was kind of like some of the beginnings of like in, you know, your beginnings are so punk rock to me in the true essence of it, you know, like Captain Beefheart, like he doesn't get more raw than that.
It's
badass. It's like, to me, it's like ultimate straight cred. You're like,
yeah, I know.
This is where I was.
I believe that is true. Cause Don Van Vliet, there was no one like him, not even Zappa,
yeah.
who changed my life too, wasn't yeah. as far out as Don at all. Don was the furthest out person
right.
I'd ever known. So the band that it really sort of helped put Dylan on the map, as you know, as big as he got, were the Byrds. So they did Mr. Tambourine Man. Right. Let's hear that. So the Byrds were my favorite band in Hollywood, and I started following them around, and that's how I got into Hillman. So what else?
Okay. So Beefheart.
Oh, Beefheart. Okay.
So we went Bobby D, Birdies, Beefheart.
Yeah, I met Beefheart while still in high school.
Right. So I think we talked a little about this the last time, but Frank, I mean, you were very close, obviously, for very long was Frank Zappa, but
as close as someone can be with him.
But okay,
and
what
not,
do you mean by that?
And not sleep with him. Yeah,
because you were just family. You were.
Yes, I felt like family, even though he, you know,
tried a little.
Yeah,
here and there. But who wouldn't?
But I was so close with Gail, I just would never even consider that. Right. So, this is another thing about a true groupie. Well, I don't know. Some groupies sleep with married men, and that's their prerogative. But I don't. I haven't, and I won't. Yeah. I mean,
well, I'm too selfish for it. And you,
yeah.
you deserve more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and, again, like you said, and I love how non-judgmental you are.
Yeah. 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 I mean, people like Sweet Connie, for instance, it was a groupie, and she did what she wanted to do with the band and everyone surrounding the band. And sometimes she would spend 20 minutes on a blow job with the guitar tech. And sometimes she would spend the night with one of the people. And people gave her so much grief because she was doing exactly what she wanted to do. And they thought, what a cheap trollop, you know? Oh, yeah, she got, and I got called a slut, you know, this week by a woman on Facebook. Yeah, because of the word groupie. You know, all you did was, you know,
people are so short-sighted, and really it boils down to jealousy and inferiority and all these things that they just wish that they would have lived, and you actually lived, and yeah. I'm still living.
I'm still having a ball.
Trollop is a beautiful word.
It is. It's a nice old-fashioned word for slut, basically.
I love that. you know, another great word for slut.
What?
Buckle bunny.
Oh, I've never heard that. I've never heard it.
Rodeo whore.
Oh, just undoing those fancy belts.
That's right.
Yeah.
You go to the rodeo. Yeah. Buckle bunny, trollop, Sweet Connie, yeah. Ambrosia. It's all finally coming together. Yes. That's an inside joke, yes, ladies and gentlemen.
It's an inside joke, that is.
Maybe we'll save it for part two. but, okay, so back to Frankie. I love nicknames that nobody else uses.
I never called him that, but
no,
that's okay.
Nobody did.
No.
he really encouraged you to keep, because you kept, a severe diary, right?
Yeah, my mom got me a diary when I was 8 or so. I think it was 8. Under the Christmas tree on Balcom Avenue in Reseda. And I felt like I should...
What? I forgot that part.
What? Which thing? That I grew up in Reseda? Yeah, I did.
Come on, Tom Petty.
She gave me, yes. Oh, yes. I just knew that he read I'm with the Band. I just knew he read that. Just for that
song?
That one part of that song.
I know, you could hear it.
She's a good girl, you know. I mean, what can you do in Reseda? I found a lot to do, by the way. But
take the bus out of here. And down to Sunset.
Oh, God. I forget what we were talking about. Oh, yeah. Frank Zappa.
Diary.
Oh, no, diary. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I started writing the diary at 8 years old. And I kept it up because I felt like I should. My mother gave it to me and suggested it. And then I became addicted to it, about writing things down and sharing it with myself. I knew I'd read it later and be happy I wrote it.
Why did she suggest that to you?
I don't know.
You were just that kind of gal?
Christmas gift. And she knew I love to read. That's why.
Okay.
Because I belong to book clubs and she got me all kinds of children's magazines and in the mail and stuff. So I always loved the written word.
What do you remember, like, any favorite books growing up? That was one of my personal questions. Like, I have a little collection of my own questions, but I'm like wondering if you're still reading. What are you reading?
I read nonstop. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite genre currently?
I read a whole lot of spiritual books.
Okay.
Yeah. Every kind of thing that comes to me. I'm writing my spiritual memoir now called Sex, God, and Rock and Roll. Yeah. Now that I finished the Jane Petty book, that's what I'm doing. Then I'm writing Cynthia Plastercaster's book, which is really great.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't even broached that.
I know there's a lot to cover.
Subject. when you were little, what do you remember?
I belonged to book clubs. Okay. So I just remember reading every kind of book that came to me. I didn't have favorites. I love Disney things. Yeah. I was a Mickey Mouse nut and a Disney nut, Bambi, all of it. I was obsessed.
Those books are so beautiful. Yeah. I love those books.
But then, you know, I got started with the teen magazines and got, I got into music very young. Mm-hmm. Then I got into James Dean.
Oh, yeah.
Even younger. So I started buying, when he died, that was like, who is that? Right. I was sleeping in the car. My parents were driving our old Ford. It came on the radio that James Dean had died. And my mom went, oh, how sad. And I woke up and said, who is James Dean?
I think I'm in love. He's dead.
And I was 8.
He was dead.
And now look.
Oh, I know. Okay. I always forget that you have tattoos.
Yes, I have a signature tattooed on my neck, along with his birth date and death date. And I go to his hometown and lay on his grave and commune with him. Oh, the things I could tell you about James Dean. Oh, my God. He visits me. Yeah. He's in my dreams.
Okay.
In my dreams, yeah.
Okay. I have so many questions. I want to know everything. You want to share one dream? Or is it personal?
No, I can do it. Okay. I speak at the James Dean Memorial often, and this is a dream I share with the James Deaners. Fairmount, Indiana.
Okay.
Spent a lot of time there. Many friends there now, and I've been going there for many, many years with my friends.
So you really do have some sort of spiritual connection with this dude.
Yeah, with James Dean, with Graham Parsons, with various people. You know, that are available. Mm-hmm. And James Dean, it's a long dream, so I think we should wait on this. We should do another one, though.
We'll just keep it casual. And I love you and I love talking with you. And not as, I don't know, I'm not interested in all the, look, you've led an amazing life, very cool life. You're beautiful inside and out. And that's, I want to know, like, more of the inside. And I
get it.
You know
of
what
course.
I mean?
So. We all do. Whenever I interview someone, I try to at least come to that happened after I'm with the band came out. I became a journalist and interviewed everybody I ever wanted to sleep with.
You're so good at it.
But that's what I did. So that I transmogrified myself into a journalist.
Great plan, too.
And my very
Hey, baby, can I interview you?
Yeah. My very first interview was with Michael Hutchins, my first big rock and roll interview. And he was so sweet. He really, really made me feel comfortable and at ease. And we became friends. But as far as deep goes, I can tell you someone else who I'm very fond of is Walt Whitman. And he has appeared to me in a hologram. And so a lot of this stuff is going to be in my next book,
okay.
Sex, God, and Rock and Roll.
I love that you said those who are available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that is, some obviously aren't, because I've tried. You know who else is incredibly available is William Blake, big hero of mine.
This is with the kitty cat. I can't even. The kitty cat's coming to even sit by you during this conversation. I mean.
Oh. When I had Rufus Wainwright sitting right where you are now, this cat was over here on the floor, and he started singing a cappella. He sang a song a cappella right here, right where you're sitting. It was one of the most amazing moments in any of my podcasts. So if you haven't heard my Rufus Wainwright podcast, please listen to it. Anyway, my cat got up, walked over, and got in his lap while he was singing. Rufus! Oh my God.
Just doing his own thing. The cat just had to.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Okay, so let's plug a few things.
Okay. We'll plug a few things.
They're coming for me now. You can hear the police, y'all. The jig is up.
Cece, tell me what you have planned right this minute.
Absolutely nothing other than doing this again with you.
You're a kid. That's a lie. She's always working.
I am always working, and I am finishing a record in the name of Jesus in February.
That's what it's called?
No.
Oh, that would
maybe
be great.
Maybe it should be.
Wow.
I'm thinking of going kind of just like side note. I'm thinking of really want, I'm tired of like hiding away.
You're hiding Jesus.
I've been hiding everything for like 10
Jesus.
Years.
Your
I'm
story
like all in black.
No, your Jesus story is one of the best I've ever heard. So why don't you lean into the Lord?
Well, I'm trying to, and I bought some dresses and some heels, and I think I want to like kind of get a little sexy on the cover.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, whatever. That's for us. But so yeah, all really that I have coming up is finishing this
record. Good, good.
I want to come see you. One of my questions was, I know we're out of time, but who locally are you into? And I know one person is playing your event.
I'm having an event February 17th. It's posted on Facebook as usual. There's a band I like called Sweet Nothings. They're a local LA band, but they're from Georgia. The fellow is Logan Shook, and his girlfriend Lily is in the band. And I haven't seen a singer that moved me like this. I shouldn't call him a kid, but maybe I will because I'm 75.
He's still like, they're both just like, you're just like, why are you so pure? But like, do this to me. Turn me upside down.
They're really good. And yeah. I love not discovering, because they were discovered already by themselves. But I am sharing this band with mm-hmm. people. My goddaughter and my manager now, Polly Parsons, just released a Graham and Emmy Lou album of unheard live material with the head of Amoeba. And this guy, Lo Shook, sang as an opener for Polly's event. And I went, okay, who the F is that?
I know with that suit too. The little get up.
So his band is playing in my yard. So I think our time is up though.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
March 17th.
Is the event. Whiskey. And there's my show at the Whiskey where I tell all.
Yeah.
And
and then come to our event. Go on Facebook and we'll talk to y'all soon. I love you so much. Thank you.
I love you too. But thank you.
Lo Shook doesn't hold a candle to how you feel about me.
No, it doesn't. No. No one.
Don't put that on the thing.
No one.
I just had to assert my dominance.
Off the record. Cece Benhoeffer for asking me such wonderful questions. And I love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
There's two dumb blondes for hire. We can pick up sticks and they can light a fire. Now wandering beats the bills. And I'll never wonder when the city kills. Oh, she got a long way to go till she get to the end. I wrote a melody for Annie and a four-legged friend. A memory of Annie working hard in the snow. The river done and dried up, but she already know. The river done and dried up, but she already know.
Gee, thank you for listening to that. I think I had, I mean, that was so fun talking to Cece.
What a great interviewer I am.
Yes, she is. And I appreciate you guys hanging in here with me. I know I've been gone a while, but I am back and I'm going to have some really exciting people. Yes. So keep coming back.
Keep coming.
You know where they say that.
Keep coming.
Bye.
You've been listening to Pamela DeBar's Pajama Party, produced by Aaron Alden and Christian Swain. All sound design by Jerry Danielson and Busy Signal Studios. Find Miss Pamela at Pamela DeBar on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Find all the Pantheon podcasts at pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/pantheonpodcasts. Rock and Roll Archaeology on Instagram and Pantheon Pods on Twitter. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.